catch me, don't you catch me. I've fallen in love for the first time. For you I dropped a tough guy on this bus. I sit thinking about you, thinking about you, thinking about you, thinking about you. Thinking about you, thinking about you, thinking about you, thinking about you.
Damn, it feel good to have you. Damn, it feel good to have you. Damn, it feel good to have you. Damn, it feel good to have you. Needing me, wanting me, giving me a chance to feel special to somebody in the world where they not loving me. Handcuffs keep hugging thee, wrist of my and I wish stuff was different here. But if I had to make the evil disappear, that means that there would be no Santa Claus no more to bring you Christmas cheer. Cause what he represents is really greed and the need to purchase from corporations that make a killing because they feed on the wallets of the poor who be knocking on their door every Black Friday just to get some they can't afford. Even with the discount, write a check to bounce. But as long as we got credit, it don't matter the amount. We just swiping here. We don't love, we just liking here. What's that smell? Where's your diapers here? Lay on your back, don't pee right now or else I have to get you back. One day when you gon' wanna get your way, yeah, I'll have fun with that. Reminisce when you came out the womb. Tears of joy, I think, filled up the room. You are now the reason that I fight. I ain't never did nothing this right in my whole life. Got me thinking, am I worthy of this gift? Am I strong enough to live? Am I strong enough to live? To a place that I can see.
To a place that I can see.
Someone more important than me.
Someone more important than me.
Am I worthy of this gift?
Am I worthy of this gift?
Am I strong enough to live?
Am I strong enough to live?
To a place that I can see.
To a place that I can see.
Someone more important than me.
Someone more important than me.
He gon' ask me how I did this. I'm gon' do a humble stunt, act like I meant this. That's the ego taking credit for what God made.
We are the 12 Tribes of Israel podcast.
For more information, you can visit our website, 12t.co.
You could call us at 888-447-1695.
Our email address is scribe@risesworld.com.
By holding the tradition of men, you're no different than this history that we're going to read about right here. In the Apocrypha, we see how by following idols, you waste a lot of resources. And naturally, when you find out that you're wasting so much, you're going to get angry. You're going to get upset because you're going to realize that, damn, you know what? I could have been had all this money and I could have used it this way or that way. Because like I give an example, a lot of our people, they're going to go and pay their credit cards now with the income tax that's coming. But you could have used that maybe to put it in your house. Like I've seen people get $10,000, $12,000 in the income tax, which really is your money, being returned to you without interest. So it was money that they're returning because they took too much taxes out of your pocket. But they're not giving you interest for it. So it's really your money. Don't look at it as, oh, the government gave me this. No, you worked for it. In fact, you could have had this money before they gave it to you. But that's another story. Let's not even go into that. Taxes is captivity, no matter what. So when you read the scriptures, it's going to show us the waste that people put themselves through. Your income tax could have gone into your mortgage, and maybe you would have paid off your mortgage earlier. Your income tax could have gone into your savings, where you have a defense, because that's what savings is. Money that protects you later on if something happens. So let's read this. Let's read this real quick. In the book of the history of the destruction of Balaam the dragon, it says here in verse 1, and this is in the Apocrypha, Balaam the dragon. And the king Astyages was gathered to his fathers, and Cyrus of Persia received his kingdom. So we're reading here in the first verse some history. We're reading about the children of Israel being slaves in the kingdom of the Persian and Medes. And we're reading about Cyrus the Great. He became king. And Daniel conversed with the king and was honored above all his friends. So even though Daniel was a slave, and even though Daniel was in the Persian captivity, because he kept the commandments, the Most High made him friends with the king, just like we read in the book of Proverbs. Just like we read in the book of Proverbs, because Daniel loved pureness of heart, and when he spoke was graceful with the words of the Most High, the king became his friend. You see that? And it's not just Daniel this happened to. This happened to many people in the Bible. Mordecai, Joseph, where they became very prosperous because of the pureness of their heart. So look at verse 3. It says, now the Babylonians had an idol. What does an idol mean? A graven image, a false god, called Bel. So the Babylonians were worshiping this idol that was called Bel, which is really the same thing as Baal. And they were spent upon him every day. So they were spending this amount every day. 12 great measures of fine flour and 40 sheep and 6 vessels of wine. So every day they would spend 12 great measures of fine flour. So using flour to make breads and stuff like that. 40 sheep every day and 6 vessels of wine. This is what you're doing right now. When you do Halloween, when you do Christmas, Father's Day, Mother's Day, because if you really cared about your father and your mother, then you would take care of them 365 days, right? You buying them flowers, those flowers are going to wither. You buying them certain gifts, you know, that they might be happy about because they're carnal, but spiritually, they know that you're not really caring about them. This is the only day of the year they probably see you or hear from you or anything like that. Then you got like days like Valentine's Day that's coming up that you're pretending that you love each other. But really, this chick is a whore. That man is a whoremonger. And you feel compelled by society to show your so-called love, which is really lust, to each other. Let's stop pretending. Okay, because if you loved her, you would treat her as your wife. If you dealt with her sexually, she is your wife. And if you loved him, you would treat him as your husband. So a lot of times we got our people mixed up in all these things, just wasting the resources they have. So in verse 4, it says, and the king worshipped it. So the king, even though he's not a Babylonian, he's a Persian, he was worshipping the god of the Babylonians, who were before the superpower in the world that was taken down by his people. So he's worshiping their idol and went daily to adore it and went daily to worship it. And the king said unto him, unto Daniel, why dost not thou worship Bel? So why are you not worshiping Bel, my God? Daniel, explain this to me. Who answered and said, because I may not worship idols made with hands. In other words, Daniel said what we read in Exodus chapter 20. We don't worship anything that is created by man. The Heavenly Father cannot be worshipped by things made with hands. He is not a symbol like a cross. He's not a fish symbol. He's not anything that you're making. The Heavenly Father created us. He's in the spiritual world. He's a spirit. So he said, I cannot worship things made with hands, but the living God. But who? The living God, the God that sees us, that his eyes preserve knowledge, who have created the heaven and the earth, and have sovereignty, meaning rulership, over all flesh. So he's telling him, look, that's not God. The Most High is living. Because that image cannot move, cannot do anything. Even though they're given this image food every day, it is a waste because he cannot eat it. And as a child, for example, I grew up as a child seeing that type of waste. Well, I would see offerings being given to an image, a graven image that was bought at a botanica, that was bought in a place that they sell images of what you think are biblical figures. They got coffee. They got food. And it doesn't go nowhere. No one eats it. So you're wasting what you have. And not only are you wasting it, your mind is not smart enough to see that this is something that was mass produced. This is something that is being sold to you. If it was God, how can it be sold to you? But our people don't see that. And they go and pray into it. Let me offer some coffee or some Tabasco or whatever because I want a blessing. You ain't going to get no blessing from that. You're going to end up being cursed even more by the Most High and your children. Here it is then in verse 6. It says, "Then said the king unto him, Thinkest thou not that Bel is a living God?" So he's like, what you mean? You don't think that Bel is a living God? "Seest thou not how much he eateth and drinketh every day?" So the king thought that that image actually ate the 12 measures of wine, excuse me, the 12 great measures of fine flour, the 40 sheep, and the 6 vessels of wine. He thought that it was being consumed, that was being eaten by something that cannot move, something that was built by the hands of men. So he said, "Seest thou not how much he eateth and drinketh every day?" Verse 7, then Daniel smiled, because Daniel found it funny. He's like, he really thinks that this thing is eating it. "And said, O king, be not deceived." He said, "O king, be not tricked." So you brothers and sisters, don't be tricked as well. Do not be deceived. Wake up from the lies. Be pure of heart. And see what kind of changes you can make that will have a long-lasting effect on your children and on their children's children. He said, "For this is but clay within." This is made of glass. This is clay. "And brass without." So it was glass within, brass on the outside of it. "And did never eat or drink anything." So the king was wroth, meaning the king got angry at Daniel for saying the truth. But Daniel said what was the right thing to say. He told him, according to the pure heart that he has, graceful words. He proved it to him just by saying that. "And called for his priest." So the king, he got angry. He could have taken it out on Daniel, but instead, he wants proof. He wants to prove Daniel wrong. So he called for the priests of Bel and said unto them, "If ye tell me not who this is that devoureth these expenses." So what he got angry for? Because his financial expenses are being wasted. He's like, you better tell me who's eating all my food that I'm spending money on. So he said, "If you don't tell me, ye shall die." Right? "If ye tell me not who this is that devoureth these expenses, ye shall die. But if ye can certify me that Bel devoureth them, then Daniel shall die." So, but if you could prove to me that is Bel, the false god, eating it, then Daniel will be put to death. Now, do you think Daniel was shook? Do you think Daniel was worried like, oh man, I'm going to die? No, he was not. Because the eyes of the Lord preserve knowledge. Daniel had wisdom from the Most High. He said, "For he hath spoken blasphemy against Bel." So he said, going to die because he spoke blasphemy. "And Daniel said unto the king, let it be according to thy word." So he said, so let be it. Yes, king, if I'm speaking blasphemy, if I didn't say the truth, then let it be that I die. So he was not shook at all. Daniel was ready for the challenge. He's like, challenge accepted. So in verse 10, it says, "Now the priests of Bel were 70. A score is 20. So 70 is 3 times 20, which equals 60. So the priests of Bel were 60 persons and 10. So 60 plus 10 equals 70. 70 persons, besides their wives and children. "And the king went up with Daniel into the temple of Bel. So Bel's priest said, lo, we go out So they're trying to prove that Bella's the one eating the stuff. So look, we're going to leave. You give them the offerings, we're going to be out of the temple. We go out, but thou, O king, set on the meat and make ready the wine and shut the door fast, meaning lock the door and seal it. Seal it was basically a wax that they put on the door. That way, if anybody opened it, the wax would crack. And that would be proof whether someone tampered with the door and the lock of it or not. So he said, seal it with thine own signet, which is the signet is the ring that identifies the king. So they're trying to provide proof. They're like, look, how can it be that he doesn't eat it if you're the one that put the offering there? If you locked the door and nobody went inside, it must have been Bell that ate it then, right? That's what they're trying to insinuate. That's what they're trying to do. That's how they're trying to prove to the king that his expenses are not being wasted. Verse 12, and tomorrow when thou comest in, if thou findest not that Bell hath eaten up all, we will suffer death. Or else Daniel that speaketh falsely against us. So they're saying, look, in the morning, tomorrow, if the food is still there, then that means Bel is not a real god. But if the food is gone, then Bel is the god and Daniel must die because he spoke falsely against us. So here it is that you got to understand the scenario, right? Imagine you being the king, you're giving 40 sheep and just from keeping the Passover, I know that about one sheep costs about $250 and more, depending on the weight. So when you think about it, 40 sheep, 6 vessels of wine, and 12 great measures of flour. He's like, yo, if it's not Bel eating it, I'm going to be so angry. But they're assuring him. They say, no, king, it is Bel. Lock the door. Put your wax signet on it so that you can see nobody tamper with the door. If it's gone, the food, that means Bel ate it. If it's still there, then we are following a false god. So they're trying to reassure him. And verse 13 says, and they little regarded it. They didn't think about it. They're like, we got this covered. We're good. Daniel's going to die. We're not worried. For under the table, they had a privy entrance. And what that means is that under the table, they had a private entrance. So they didn't need to go through the door, the front door that now is locked, now has a signet. They're not worried about it because they had a secret trap door underneath the table that they could get inside to eat the food. Whereby they entered in continually and consumed those things and ate all that food. You got to think about it. 70 people that are priests, besides their wives and children, are going inside and they're going to eat all of that food. So when they were gone forth, so they left without thinking anything about it. They're like, we got this covered. Later on tonight, we'll sneak in through the door under the table and we'll eat it. So when they were gone forth, the king set meat before Bel. Now Daniel had commanded his servants to bring ashes. And those they strewed throughout all the temple. Daniel is very smart. He knows that it's them eating it. He doesn't need proof that it's them eating it for himself. But he needs it for the king. Because in the morning, the king is going to come and he's going to find the food eaten. He's going to think that it is actually that idol made of brass and glass. Right? So what he's going to do instead, he's going to provide the king with proof by putting on the floor a whole bunch of ashes. And you're going to see how smart that was. Because it says he strewed throughout all the temple, meaning he put the ashes all over the floor of the temple in the presence of the king alone. So the only person that saw him do this with his servants was the king. The only person. That way it's kept a secret that he did this to the floor. Then went they out and shut the door and sealed it with the king's signet and so departed. So, do you think Daniel's worried now? No. He knows that it's not the idol. He knows it's those wicked priests making them waste the expenses of all those things. Now in the night came the priests with their wives and children, as they were wont to do, as they always did, and did eat and drink up all. So they're like, yeah, you know, they enjoyed all that food. It was like, oh, it's delicious. Give me some of that wine. And they drinking up and eating of it. No one knowing that they're actually in there eating. People are asleep. They think the idol eats it every night. Verse 16, in the morning, be time, the king arose and Daniel with him. So in the morning time, the king got up. Daniel also got up with him. It doesn't mean they were sleeping in the same place. What it means is that they met up to the temple to see whether the food was there, because this was going to be the proof that Bel was a god or not. So we get to verse 17 where it says, and the king said, Daniel, are the seals whole? Meaning, is the wax seal broken or is it still intact? If it's intact, that means that nobody tampered with that door. Nobody went through that door. Daniel says, and he said, yea, O king, they be whole. So, yes, king, no one messed with the door. It is whole. So you can imagine the king inside like, yes, I knew it, right? Then verse 18 says, and as soon as he had opened the door, the king looked upon the table. So as soon as, let me see. He looked, and what happened? How's the table? Of course, it's empty. We just read that the priests and their wives and their children ate up all the food. So the king is seeing that. He's like, oh, yes. Look, Bel is a god. The table is empty, right? And cried with a loud voice. This is what the king said with a loud voice. Great art thou, O Bel, and with thee is no deceit at all. And with thee is no deceit, meaning no trickery. And with thee, there's no trick at all. There's no lies at all. Then Daniel laughed. This is my favorite part. Verse 19 says, then Daniel laughed. Because he's seeing this king all excited. He looking at the table. Oh, it's empty. Everything's gone. It's been eaten. And he praising his false god, thinking that his god that is made of brass, that can't even move, blink, or nothing, actually ate that food. So Daniel laughs. You know he had a good laugh inside. It says in verse 19, and held the king. He said, king, hold on, don't go in. That he should not go in, and said, behold now the pavement. What do I mean, behold now the pavement? Meaning, look at the floor and mark well whose footsteps are these. That's why Daniel put ashes all over the floor, to mark the footsteps of people that are going to walk inside the temple. Because the priests did not know that he put those things on the floor. They did not know that he actually made a way to prevent them from walking inside. Daniel, being so smart, put the ashes all over the floor to mark their footsteps. Because the priest left without thinking that anything was going to be done. So they walked around like they normally would, got on the table, ate up the food, them, their wives, and their children, without any preoccupation, without being worried about anything. It's like someone putting flour all over the floor to see footsteps. So Daniel was so smart. It says, and mark well whose footsteps are these. Verse 20 says, and the king said, I see the footsteps of men, women, and children. I see what? The footsteps of men, women, and children. And then the king was angry. And then the king was angry. Why is he angry? Like we read above in verse 8. Because someone is devouring his expenses. And he's a king. He's wealthy. He has the money to spend it. As long as he thought that this thing was a god, he was willing to spend the money. But once he found out that it's actually a false god, he got angry for the expenses. Not because he was deceived only in the fact that it's not a god, but because his money is being wasted. That's how you should be when you find out that Christmas has nothing to do with Christ. You should be angry. because you're wasting your money. You're wasting your resources, what you could have actually saved up for your children and your grandchildren, for your family, or you could have invested it like the scriptures teach you to do, because the scriptures does teach about financial ways to deal with things. So what happens? As we read on in verse 21, it says, "And took the priests with their wives and children, who showed him the privy doors." So now he's like, "I know you guys ate it. Look at the floor. It's your footsteps." So the priests and their wives and the children had no choice but to show him how they went in through the temple, where they came in and consumed such things as were upon the table. Therefore, the king slew them. What he do? Killed them. Wherefore, the king slew them and delivered Beld into Daniel's power. And he gave Daniel possession, gave Daniel power, said, "Daniel, do whatever you want with this idol and with this temple. Who destroy him, destroy the graven image and his temple." See, that's what we're supposed to do according to the commandments. We're not supposed to hold on to wickedness and say it's for the children. It's for the children. It's for the children. You have people in the world doing that, but you even have Israelites doing that. Like, there was a group of brothers teaching, there's some that speak against images. That's called iconoclasm. Who cares what it's called? The commandments said to do that. You don't see Daniel saying, "Oh, Bel is black," because the Babylonians are black. "Let me keep this black image, to help my people." No, he didn't do that because he knows it does not help. It does not help. There's nothing good that will come from it. So when it comes to any idolatry of any kind, we cannot accept it. We cannot think of the Most High as art or devices that were made by the hands of man, of silver, gold, of stone, artwork that is according to the imagination of some fool that wants to deceive you. You cannot allow that. You got people spending money on graven images when that money could be used on what they put on their table. You got people sharing their food with graven images instead of sharing it with the poor that actually need help. So you talk about you want to do good to the world and everything like that. What about that time period you say, let's give God thanks and everything like that. And you're going to give God thanks by stuffing yourself according to your greed. No, that's not thanking the Heavenly Father. That's not helping your family either. It's not helping your community. See, the good habit that we should learn according to the scriptures is the fellowship. When we fellowship as a nation, we come together to keep the feast days. We're pulling our resources together and actually doing something that will cause an impact on the lives of our children and those that do not have any financial resources or that are in poverty that they cannot even help themselves. So once a year, people are like, I'm going to give, to the poor. I'm going to help the poor. Help the poor, help the poor, when the poor is around 365 days. Help the poor that is in your community every day, and then they won't be poor. Teach them, give them resources, and they will be able to help others as well. But our people don't think that way. They say it's for the children. No, it's for poverty. That's what it is. It's for poverty. Because let's show the difference between the Most High's feast days and the wicked holidays. We just show that through idolatry, you end up wasting expenses. But let's see what the Most High says about his feast days.